I want to continue this morning concerning the understanding of our salvation. Now, for those who are truly born again, for those who are in Christ, and I'm just using different terms now, and for those in whom Christ dwells, for those who are saved, salvation is what it is. But it is the understanding of that salvation that poses, or the lack of understanding of that salvation, that poses a problem in the Lord's body. It isn't that Christ is not who he is. Whether I even accept him or not, whether I accept him or not doesn't change a thing concerning who he is. And yet, when I am drawn by the Spirit of God, or anyone, and come to receive Christ, we come on the basis of the comprehension that we have at the time. Generally, we come because the Spirit of God has convicted us, our soul, of sin, and is drawing us toward the Lord. This can be with children. It was with probably many of us that are here, or many of us that are watching, became born again as a child, received the Lord Jesus. But I know for a fact that though I received the Lord, there's no doubt that Christ came into my very soul. But the only thing I understood about that was what I had been told. And that was that now all my sins were forgiven. And it stopped right there. And of course that led to sermons and going to church, and where I was, and I did all the time. That led to being told, you know, how not to sin again. And what to do and what not to do with regard to living for Christ. It was like, you know, in my case, a 16-step manual. 16 fundamentals of faith that you had to adhere to. And all of a sudden, you know, your focus was on that. I grew up this way, honey. I went to Bible college and was further taught, more specifically taught, on 16 fundamentals of faith. 16 fundamentals of faith, except for one old brother there in that Bible college who was retiring. The very year that I began, he was retiring. Precious brother had been the president of that college. And I remember what he said, and I didn't really understand all of, but he said, anytime any of you young preachers, because he was going to take a pastorate of a church in Arlington, Texas. He said, anytime one of you young preachers want to come where I am pastoring and preach Christ, really definitely, and preach Christ, you will be welcome to come. And he didn't say anything else. He just went right on. That's the only time in that Bible college, during the time I was there, it's the only time I heard anything about preaching Christ. No, it was always based upon those doctrines, those denominational statements. Always, always. So I know you can be born from above and not comprehend it. Not comprehend what happened. Think that, well, this is it. Now, if you really have a heart for God, that'll get old. And it'll bring you to a confusion and all of that. But my point still is that there are so many believers who do not understand. They have no understanding of their salvation. So we want to continue. We're talking about our being in Christ. Our being in Christ. I remember the first time this thought that I'm going to express to you in a moment came to me was while I was reading in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, and it states, therefore. Now, the teaching here begins, the statement here that begins up here in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all died with him. And that he died for all, that they which live, and we have to add here, because it's what Paul is talking about, they which live by Christ, they which have newness of life, they which live. And there he's not talking about animal life, but spirit life, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. What a tremendous statement that is. What a tremendous statement that is. Just listen to it and ask yourself, just right now, everybody, but just look at this and just say, do I understand what Paul is saying there? I mean, I read it and we all read. Just ask yourself, do I understand what he's saying there? I ask myself that a lot of times, continually. And I follow up with saying, Father, open my eyes. Because I know if he opens the eyes of my understanding, I know in one measure, in one way, in one way or another, I know that it's going to be Christ. That it's going to be Christ. That I see inwardly the understanding that is given of God will be in his Son. I know that. And sometimes it comes right then, sometimes it don't. I'll just leave it alone and say, Father, just open my eyes. But see, he doesn't open our eyes to things. He opens our eyes to his Son, in whom dwelleth all of these things of wisdom and knowledge and understanding of our salvation. Because he is our salvation. Now look, we go on here. In that he died for all, they which live should not live unto themselves as though they had a life of their own. But unto him who now lives in them, died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. This is the verse. Therefore, but see, it has that word there, and so you have to let it go back and gather up what therefore is talking about. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and that deals with a whole lot more than sins. There's a whole creation dealt with here, a whole economy dealt with here, a whole age, a whole world dealt with here. It is what the Hebrew writer calls the first. I come to take away the first, that he may establish the second. It's the whole first order of things. It's the whole Adamic order of things, hon. It's not just touching our lives to do better. It is abolishing our lives, that we may have no life but Christ. It is the taking away. And the second, being established in its place. This is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The actual meaning here and the actual rendition of this verse: behold, the new is come. Behold, the new is come. It isn't referring to, not really in this verse, new things, but the one who makes all things new. So what are we talking about here, being in Christ? We're talking about a whole new universe. A whole new universe. Is that large enough for us, maybe? A whole new heaven and earth. Nothing of the new creation, nothing of the natural, nothing of the old creation can give meaning to the new creation. Why? Because it is in Christ. See, it's not in the sky, it's in Christ. It's not in the world, it's in Christ. Nothing in the world can give meaning to that which is totally other than the world. The judgment in the world is concerning good and evil. That blew up. That blew up in the garden. But that's the world judgment. Because you've then got to figure out what is good and what is evil. And then you know how that goes. Pretty soon you will be calling that which is good evil and that which is evil good. That's going on every time you turn your television on and particularly watch political programming of any kind or any of the news agencies, period. All of that is there. And everyone has got their judgment on what it's about and all of that. In a new creation, it's very singular. It's simply what is Christ and everything other than Christ. That's it. So that would leave us searching to know Him. Father, show me what is Him. Show me who He is. Show me. Open my eyes that I may know Him. You read that in Paul's epistles particularly. It's there, it's there, it's everywhere. Why? My point today is why? 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 Because if you are born from above, if you are in Christ, then you're a new creation. How many true Christian people, I mean, understand that, or throughout the body of Christ, how many folks have even heard that? The reality of being in Christ. Over 230 some odd times it's in the scripture in one phrase or another. It should have captured somebody's attention. And I'm sure that it has, and then been explained away. As being in a building or being in this or being in that. But no, we're in Christ. It is a creation, the light of which is Christ Himself. The creation that you and I can see this morning. We have a lot of sunshine today. Aren't we glad for that? Yes, I am. Because from there we get not only light, we get heat. But before God created those elements, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the whole heavenly universe, or I say heavenly universe, the whole universe of things, the earth was just dark as dark can be. It's as dark is. It was without light. And so God gave it light. No, not the light that He says, God said, let there be light, and there was light, and then He divided that light from the darkness. That light is only found in the sun. That light is only found in Christ. But on the third day or the, He gave light for the earth. The sun, the moon, the stars. And they were also for days and times and And he would come to use those later and give a tremendous testimony in those days and times and the stars and the moon and the lunar years, because he measured them by what he introduced as Sabbath days. And he introduced them as the feasts of the Lord, because they were all measured by those days and times. And that's why we have them. And it is still so today. But my point is just this. We read concerning this new creation. We read concerning being in Christ. And we come across where the light of that reality, the light of that world, of that creation, new creation, is not the sun or the moon or the stars. Then what is it? It is the Son himself. It's not the moon. It's not stars. It's not the natural sun. What I said a while ago and what my thought is, I said, old things are passed away. Behold, the new is come. Old things are not replaced with new things. They're replaced with the only one who can be called new. Behold, I make all things new. I make all things new. You hear that? I make all things new. He's the only one that can be called new. He's the only one that can be called newness of life. Newness of life is not me just straightening up and living better. Everyone should straighten up and live better. But newness of life is Christ living in you. This new creation has an altogether different judgment than the one in which we were born of the flesh. If you'll think about that, hon, men can't even agree on that. The good, the bad issue, the evil, the good and evil issue. Men don't agree on that. Countries don't even agree on that. You know that. That's why there is no peace. There is no true joy. We could go on down the line forever. The new creation is in Christ. And that's what we're talking about in these Sundays. And all I wanted to do today, I was thinking about this sitting up here last night. Our being in Christ. I wrote it right here. Understanding salvation. Our being in Christ. And then what hit me when I was reading this new creation, and I was looking here, is the term being, not so much as in a place. Our being in Christ. Not so much us having place, dwelling in Christ, even as Christ dwells in us. But listen to what I'm... Here's the thought that came. Not to being so much as a place, but as a state, a condition, Therefore, knowing no man after the flesh, a new state of being, having our being, not just our location, not just our position, having our existence. But more than that, not just a soul existing, because a soul existing can be a soul existing dead in sin. So I'm still talking about not merely an existence, but an altogether new state of being. Understanding our being in Christ. To understand our being in Christ, our understanding has to be given of God in Christ. Because should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him. Because we're not the master of our being. He is. We're not the substance of our being. He is. Salvation is more than a soul forgiven, cleaned up, and all that you could go ahead and say. Salvation is a soul having no life other than Christ Himself. It is the great Pauline statement, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. The man had seen a new state of being. And I'm asking, have you? Have you? Have I? And I guess the word for that is, have we? Is it a new state of being? Many have preached it, and you've read many books, I'm sure, where the reference is in Christ, but it is presented more in the line, more at the level of a new existence. And there may be other words that are used, but that one came to me here. The new existence, like I once was here and now I'm here. I once was in Egypt, now I'm in Canaan. But you know and I know that God was never satisfied with that concerning Israel. His whole idea concerning it was, I have brought them as on eagle's wings unto myself. Not just from country to country. Not just from Egypt. Not even just from bondage to less bondage. Or what? No. And yet, so many times, it is presented that way. You understand, darling, what I'm trying to feebly say here is that we're understanding, we are defining here our salvation. And it is defined in Christ. Our being in Christ. We have been brought into this union by the Spirit of God. We've been brought into this union through baptism, through new birth. We've been brought into this union by the Spirit of God. What is it that He has brought us into? Only he who is the Spirit of truth can truly show you that. The one by which we are brought is the one who shows us that into which or into whom we have come. It's a whole new state of being. And that's why Paul says it the way he says it here. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that when one died for all, then all died with him. There had to be that kind of a death. And where do you go to understand that except to the one who gathered all up into that death? He's the one that died. But he died the death that no man could die. Man could get sick, quit breathing, body shut down, heart quit beating, or he stabbed with a sword and bleeds out on the ground. I mean, that kind of a death. But not the kind of death that takes away a whole creation of things. Man himself. And you see, God didn't have to watch every single individual from Adam to the last human being that will ever be born of a woman. Why? Because he saw them all in one son. He saw them all in the Son that left the Father. The one that did not count it robbery or something to be grabbed and held on to be equal with God. But laid it aside. Laid it aside. We used to use the term a lot years ago. Kenosis. You hardly hear it used anymore. But it means that absolute self-emptying. He's really the only one who had anything to empty. He's the only one who had a real place to leave. I'm talking about Christ. Made himself no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Everything that man was, fashioned like him and being found in fashion like him. Why? So he could bring man to an absolute death. So that they who were made to be dead, judgment passed upon it. After God had said, thou shalt surely die. In the garden. The sureliness of that death came as it only could come. Not with some Adamic creature. But with the Son of God. Who could take into his very body the Adamic creation. Who was, because he was sinless, the absolute, totally perfect sacrifice for sin. Who was the Son of God himself could become obedient as no human could have become obedient. He could become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So I'm trying to get you to see something here, because in the natural you can't see it. To tell most people to say it even in the venue in which we're saying it now. One died, all died with him. People start looking around and say, don't look dead to me. But you see, God wasn't looking at the body that could go through a natural crisis. He was looking at the soul. And he saw the soul of man that he himself had created come to full judgment in the Son of God. The Son of God who could bear the judgment for a whole creation and bring it to its end in his own death. So that judgment having come, thou shalt surely die. When one died, all died. That those who were dead, adjudicated dead through the death of Christ, might receive grace. We try to define grace, and we say, well, you know, grace is something that we just didn't have. I mean, it was a gift of God, and we couldn't possibly merit the grace of God. Yeah, well, there's a whole lot more than that. The grace of God is one who is dead coming coming to the resurrection and the life. It is Paul saying, I am crucified. He came to see that. When Christ died, I died with him. I am crucified with Christ. But here is the grace of God. I live. But here is the abounding, abundant grace of God. Yet not I. Here is the measureless grace of God. It is Christ. Not merely another life, not merely some kind of life. It is Christ himself. He brought all to death. He came forth out from among the dead as the very resurrection and life. The dead who hear my voice shall live by me. Oh, hallelujah, hon. What I'm trying to describe is something we've described time and time again. I know that. But I'm trying to describe the measure, the measurement, the measure of a whole new state of being. And it's not measured by anything of man or anything man can do. It's not measured by a man who can stop doing bad things and begin to do good things, or who has had bad habits and now doesn't have, he has good habit. That's not the measure of a new state of being. The only measure of the new state of being, darling, is the only one who lives. The one who is the resurrection and is the life. The one who new birth lives in you. But it is a new birth. It is not the birth of a natural man. It is the birth of the Spirit in our soul. A spiritual birth. A new state of being. And yet we still have in the church world, because it's taught that way, believers going to natural mirrors and thinking that what they see in that natural mirror is the new creation. No, that's an earthen vessel. Even if we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the treasure itself must be shown of God. It must be revealed in the very face of salvation himself. The eyes of our understanding. No, not to be born again, but to comprehend our new birth. And why should I do that? Oh, God. One good look at the church world should tell you and I why we need a comprehension of Christ given of God. Why we need the eyes of our understanding enlightened, that we may know Him who is in us, rather than sit around or walk around or do whatever we do, looking into the sky, waiting for the one who lives in us to finally get around to coming to us. And then ask me why it's important to see Him, to know Him, to comprehend by the Spirit of God the reality of our salvation. Paul says, so that you're not blown about by every wind of doctrine, but that you might, speaking the truth in love, grow up into the head in all things, grow up into Him who is the head in all things, even Christ. But our need to know Christ is not just so that we can battle the negative. The positive of that is eternity in its concept. The knowing of Him. With regard to this new creation, with regard to our being, our state of being, that doesn't change as we go from location to location, our state of being. With regard to that reality, Jesus says in John 14, John 14, we've read this now time and time again, many of the session. And none of this that I've actually sat here and said to you this morning is found in all of these notes that I've that I went over again and again and again last night. We haven't gotten to them yet. The thing that caught my attention and that I wrote here, our being in Christ. I want that to be, that needs to come into our hearts, hon. It needs to get off of the blackboard and get off of the diagrams and all of that, none of which are bad and mean and evil. We use them. But it needs to come down to the person who liveth in us. Now that's the summation that I'm after. Jesus says in John 14, 20, speaking of exactly what we're talking about here, union with Him. I'm going away, I will come again. I will come anew, I will come in newness. And He's talking about 3 days, not 3,000 years. And I'll receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. We're talking about being in Christ. So is He. And that day you will know. Not someday, that day. Of newness of life. Of union with the Lord Jesus. In that day you will know. I am in my Father. I can't get away from that. I am in my Father. I was looking at, well, I was recording yesterday the monthly CD, the lesson that we send out concerning His union with the Father. I've done that for 2 or 3 months now. Can't get away from it. Why? Because that's the foundational union. You shall know that I'm in my Father, hon. Nothing took place until that happened. Him coming out from the Father was for the death of the old. Him leaving the Father was to die. But the leaving demanded a return. Over and over again we read where Paul is saying and about this thing, and it just 3 or 4 verses there that are just continually repeated. That one that descended is the same that ascended. And then it said again. And then it said the same that ascended was the same that descended. And this one that ascended far above the heavens, that He might fill all things, which actually means that He might bring all things to completion, to their designated end, to their completeness. I've heard that preacher that He may fill all things in other ways, but that's what the actual word means. The seal of our salvation is knowing that He is in His Father. Why? tells us why. You will know I am my Father, you in me. Oh, now this place that we're talking about, this being in Christ, has just tripled and quadruply tripled and a billion trillion times. Because this is what he has said before he said that in John 14. I am the way, the truth, the life. To where? And then you've got all this imaginary things being preached as the where. He says it, it's just that so few pay attention to it. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father. My Lord and my God, that's what salvation has been about, and that's what it is about. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Art to you, to us, is it about getting away from something, getting out of something, changing our environment? Come on, darling. It is not only reasonable, it is needed to say, do we understand our salvation? No man cometh to the Father but by me. Going there, verse 6, verse 20. In that day, you will know I am in my Father. You in me. And I in you. My Lord. Well, all right, that's enough. Well, we'll continue. What we're looking at or trying to look at here is, and bring it into this reality, is it's about God's view of His Son and our union with that Son in all things. The Father gives us understanding of our union with that Son through revealing by His Spirit, through opening up, through saying, here He is. Behold Him. By revealing that Son in my soul. Well, we want to continue understanding salvation and then finally looking at the comprehending the place. The place. Not so much where we are, the place we are. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that this day is given purpose because even in this day we are found living, found being in the Son. That reality may bring importance into this 24-hour day. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the reality of our salvation. And we thank each of you for being with us. If there's any way that we can reach out to you more than we are doing, or in another way even, please don't hesitate to let us know. And I want to tell each of you who have been led of the Lord, no doubt, because you've done it, and that is to help support what we are doing here in the Research Center of CMI. The outreach of this gospel. Most of our expense, because I'm not talking about, you know, just utility bills, though, as you who have utilities know that utility bills are there. But I'm not talking about that. Most of our expense exists because of our desire, yes, but more than that, more than a desire. To reach out beyond ourselves. To reach throughout the body of Christ with this gospel and around the world. Hun, the more you see him, the more you want his whole body to see him. And every person who is born again to see him, to know him. So we thank you for helping us do that. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your support. And may the Lord just richly bless you for it. I say once again, if there's any way that we can reach out to you in a way that perhaps we are not doing now or other than we're doing now, let us know. So, until next time, and we have you're well aware that we have these sessions almost on a daily basis, and we trust that in a very few weeks, we will be having sessions on a presented through the internet on a daily basis. So we thank the Lord for that. And for those others that are here that through their teaching and make these sessions possible, and through, well, our teachers and our ministers are right now running the electrical boards and the cameras. And these are the same guys that you see on camera. Daniel Brown, one of our ministers, and one that you see on the camera and on these sessions. In the last 2 or 3 days has been climbing around up on top of the buildings, patching holes. Just holes where screws have gone. And we just appreciate you helping us do what we are committed to doing on behalf of the body of Christ. And I don't take this long often or take hardly any time at all, but I just want you to know our appreciation. You're one of those that we reach out to, and because of your ministry and your ministering to us, you're one of those that reaches out beyond yourself throughout the Lord's body. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. Amen.